The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's a long blue runner. It complements your outfit perfectly. It's Professor Heather Hill.
Okay.
We're not used to having tablecloths.
I know. This is very formal. I love it.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Pass the gravy.
I think we should have this all the time. It maybe would help us to behave better.
Not a chance.
Probably not.
Let the minutes reflect. That Heather thinks that tablecloths will make us behave better. It's possible.
It depends on what's on the tablecloths.
We don't have donuts. Yeah.
So what were you up to today, Heather? Beautiful day.
I was working on a conference paper.
Oh, I was hoping you could say gardening.
No,
or something
I'm going
like
to try
that.
To do some gardening tomorrow. Kendra dropped off some mums that I bought to support.
They were beautiful mums.
Yeah, they are. They're huge.
Yeah, they're giant.
They're giant.
It's been around.
So I got to get them in the ground or do something with them.
Excellent.
But the weather's gorgeous.
Yes.
I love it.
This might be the last gasp. So yeah.
Better enjoy.
Continuing around the table from the Department of Being Retired, it's Professor Stephen Manning.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Silent.
How are you?
Just fine. Enjoying.
You're doing great now that the Red Sox have clinched.
We should not go that way.
Let's not go in that direction.
We have a couple of mixed loyalties on not only American League East baseball, but also Ryder Cup golf.
Oh, okay.
Enjoying this wonderful, perfect, paradise-like Indian summer Michigan weather.
Yeah. That's right.
Absolutely perfect.
Almost October 1st.
Almost October 1st.
Unbelievable. It's literally 89 today. I think that they scoped that a little bit too low.
As long as the golf courses remain open, you know,
exactly.
What can you complain about?
That's right. In the immortal words of my now deceased grandfather, how late in the season could we pour concrete? That's the way we figured everything out. Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello, hello.
What's going on?
Well, not a whole lot. It's a nice...
We got some fans over here. Wow.
Beautiful sky.
Absolutely. Just like the blue of your shirt. It is gorgeous out there.
Yeah, it is.
What have you been up to last couple days, Tim?
Oh, putzing around, doing laundry this morning, the usual weekend things.
All right, that makes sense. Was kind of hoping for something a little more exciting.
Something more exciting to report, believe me, I would report it.
But
no visit to Costco this weekend?
Oh, that's yet to come.
But you do have a trip planned, I remember from last time, right? Isn't there a trip like in the next few months?
Yeah, next month.
Okay,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Well, two of them, one to the mountains of North Carolina. And then the end of the month, I'm going to Portland, Oregon for a meeting.
Ooh, awesome.
Nice. Portland's wonderful.
You're bringing back voodoo donuts, right?
They're overrated.
I'll take them. I'll take my chances.
Any donut.
Any donut.
Underrated. Yeah, awesome. Bring us whatever
you
can.
I'll take my chances.
Jim. All the way across the table, no microphones to look through this time, is Professor Daniel Maxwell.
There's no octopus. It's kind of great.
I know, it is. I can actually see you. I can see Brian. I can see everybody here. This
is great. There are table runners.
And the table runners.
So fancy.
Yes, very fancy.
So luxurious.
I already know what you were up to earlier today, but you got to tell everybody else.
Yes, I was channeling my inner Professor Mayo and hosting my first Saturday office hours at 8 a.m. And seven students showed up for Saturday office hours.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, we've two quizzes on Monday, so I'm that really hard professor that's having a quiz at 8 a.m. and then another quiz at 9 a.m. For my lab and then lecture. Oh. So I am that professor on Monday, and they made sure to tell me that.
They came to tell you that at office hours.
Yeah, they're like, I have lots of questions for you. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
Why? The question is why.
Yeah,
the question is why.
That's just how the calendar works out. But, you know, we have 1 week of classes, then fall break.
That's correct. So suck it up, students.
Suck it up. I'm going to grade, 120?
Good for you.
Next weekend will be fall break.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible.
Where did the first half of the semester
I know,
it's
right?
gone.
I know.
It's been summer for so long,
right,
Jim.
Right down the tubes,
exactly.
We're just getting ready for Live Aid, right?
That's okay. Right. Oh, yeah, right. Nice reference. Continuing around the table, Professor Brian Curtis is back with us. It's been a year, so
year.
It's good to
You're
have
in
you
making.
Back.
So I thought you were going to talk about Halloween decorations.
So was I, but she took it to the professional level.
I was going to let you talk about the other.
We did do Halloween decorations this morning, and I will be watering the mums this evening.
Okay,
so
just don't get the two mixed up.
That's all. Yeah.
You have a giant skeleton dog and a whole bunch of little ghosts.
A cat. A dog.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I messed that up.
And a 9-foot tree.
Yep. Wow. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's right. I got to see that up close.
The story of the morning. Was
a Halloween tree?
Yeah.
It's 9 feet tall. We've brought it up and down a few times today, but it's now in the upward position.
Awesome.
What is a Halloween tree?
It has glowing eyes and a mouth, and it's 9 feet tall, so it's absolutely giant. It has giant arms, and it has
How tall is it again?
9 feet tall.
I can tell you say that. So.
Well, they had a 6-foot one. That's just not good enough.
That's not. No.
It's not tall enough, no.
Stack them up. You get 15 feet.
So it has eyes and a mouth.
It glows. And then it has arms, and it has like flowing fabric that goes like, woo, in the wind.
I know that Professor Dave Chow, professor of Berkeleyology, saw what I was doing earlier today, at least a little bit.
Yeah, we were noticing the arch that you put up in front of your house.
Got the pumpkin arch up again, so
congratulations, it looks good.
If you need another one, it's currently on sale.
That's what I heard. You said you were at a 7-year-old's birthday party today?
Yes. Begrudgingly.
Okay.
I couldn't sneak out fast enough. That's awesome.
What was the theme? Bluey theme?
Can you believe
theme?
It?
Viking themed.
Viking themed.
Oh. I was going to set the child on fire and put him into a lake.
Wait, was it really Viking?
It was Viking themed.
That's cool.
Was there any pillaging?
Not enough. No, it was that Dragon Slayer thing movie. You know what I'm talking about, Aaron? Help me out.
No, we're too cool for that.
So anyway, it's a 7-year-old. What do you expect?
How to Train Your Dragon.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah,
It was a Viking.
So anyway, lots of shields, lots of fake swords and
horned helmets.
Fearing for my life.
Some people went historical. Some people went NFL. It's pretty interesting. continuing and finalizing going around the table, Professor Aaron Bell is here. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Aaron, I love your book at Earrings.
Oh, thank you very much. Representing, I figured, the library, the Writing Center.
And Noelle Knight.
Yes. But I missed you all. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You're welcome anytime. What was the theme of your 7-year-old birthday party?
Well, it was the 80s, so I'm sure there was laser tag and...
Of course.
Leg warmers. I'm just kidding, actually.
Leg warmers.
Mullets.
Mullets, yes. The theme
parachute
was the
pants.
Yes, and jelly shoes and jelly bracelets.
Of course.
It was amazing.
That covers everything.
Yeah, I think so.
We missed out on the whole themed birthday parties as kids. That's a relatively new invention.
Oh, my gosh.
I think when we're kids, we're just thankful, hey, I'm still alive.
Right. So,
it's true.
Cake. You
it's
got true. Cake.
Yeah. Oh, cake.
That's awesome.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you'll receive a brand new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug and an autographed photograph of the professors.
Yes.
If you don't stump the panel, you'll still send you the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Greetings, professors. I am a Detroit Mercy grad with an MS in Computer Information Systems, class of 95. So that would have been a contemporary of mine back in the day. Here are a few questions about the American Civil War. We actually have a rubric, 6 of 10 to pass. So that's kind of a big deal. Thanks for sending these questions. Dana Lufer sent us these questions.
That's a generous rubric. Anyway.
Absolutely.
I think 60%.
That's pretty nice. Barely passing.
We'll take it.
It's in the wheelhouse.
It's definitely in the wheelhouse.
Is there any extra credit offered?
Yeah. Let me see. Oh, the back sheet is blank.
Right. Oh, no.
Professors, what was unique about the Battle of Stones River?
It was not near a river?
I mean, it's reasonable to say not near stones or not near a river, but that's not what it is.
Okay.
I mean, that would have been unique.
I agree with that. First battle?
No.
Last battle.
Wasn't first or last.
Nobody won.
It was a tie.
There were no deaths.
No. Let's say it was very, very short.
Rocks, paper, scissors?
Mm-mm.
Everyone died.
Yeah. Everyone died. The Battle of Stones River was interesting because it lasted 3 days, but it was only fought on the first and third because so many people were killed on the first day. They did cleanup day. And then they continued fighting, and then it was over on the third day. So that's pretty interesting.
Of everyone died.
It's kind of odd.
Kind of.
I know.
Yep.
On that happy note.
Sort of shows you the internal logic of that war.
Absolutely. What unique thing happened the night before the Battle of Franklin? First of all, I want to say that's Tennessee, but I could be wrong.
There is a Franklin in Tennessee.
Okay, all right. So
there is in North Carolina, too.
Okay.
It's not Franklin, Michigan. So.
What unique thing is not Franklin, Michigan? What unique thing happened the night before the Battle of Franklin?
That wasn't when Stonewall Jackson got shot, was it?
No, that's not. It's not a
I like that guess.
Unique thing.
Was it
like
a weather
that.
Event like it snowed?
Not weather.
That's a good guess, though.
Good. The two armies... The night before, mind you, did something unique.
A cribbage tournament.
They share the meal together.
I mean, Stephen's getting close.
They celebrated a holiday.
They walked right by each other to prepare for the battle the next morning.
Oh, that's awkward.
So, yeah, that's awkward. That's really, really awkward.
High-fiving each other as they went by?
See you tomorrow at 8.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Have a nice battle.
Isn't it great that we can joke about this now?
Not so much.
What do the Siege of Petersburg and the Siege of Vicksburg have in common?
They were both Bergs? Sieges.
Yeah. Both Bergs?
Yeah, they were both Bergs.
Partial credit.
Partial credit.
I'll take it.
Okay, one was on a river.
They're both Bergs.
Yeah.
They're both in the Western Hemisphere.
They both took place during the Civil War.
Neither took place in my kitchen.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Maggio wasn't there.
There was something very unique to end the sieges that happened that involved digging.
Digging trenches.
Oh, I know that at Petersburg, they dug under the battlements and blew it up.
Exactly what happened in both to end the siege.
Okay.
The miners dug underneath the enemy lines and blew up all their gunpowder at once. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm calling that a win right there.
Yeah, good
that's,
job.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Do you pick the hardest questions for the homecoming episodes? I'm just wondering.
Sure, I did not.
Stumpers.
What happened to Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain following his wounding at Petersburg that no one else had happen during that war? Wow.
It didn't get infected.
Wasn't he the guy from Massachusetts?
Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. He got wounded at Petersburg, and something happened almost immediately. What was it?
Well, I guess he didn't die.
He had a lawyer.
He didn't die. Oh. He had a lawyer.
He was an ambulance chaser?
I mean, something happens when there's like all sorts of valor on the battlefield.
He got a medal of...
Even beyond getting a medal.
Sainthood.
No.
Nice.
Lower than sainthood.
He won the battle. He...
He got knighted?
He was promoted on the spot.
Oh, okay.
He was promoted on the spot for valor, yes,
okay.
By Ulysses S. Grant, who is the subject of the next question.
Oh.
Speaking of General Grant, that was not his given first name, Ulysses. What was it?
Bob.
Prasad.
I know.
It's Prasad. I know it is.
Obviously Prasad.
I know my son knows the answers to all of these with his, like...
Can we call him up?
I know. He's going to be like, Mom.
Stuart.
So did you know that Grant was born under a different name? His name was changed by his sponsor, a U.S. rep, when he was nominated to attend West Point. And then when he arrived to go to college, he decided to start using the name he was given on the nomination.
So that was part of the condition of his tuition being paid, was that he had to change his name?
I'm sure. I don't know. But that's what it says here. Just two Ulysses. I can give you this much. Ulysses was his original middle name. He had a different first name.
Can you give us a letter?
H, but it is old
Hercules.
School.
Harry.
Hercules is the closest.
What?
Horatio.
Not Harry. Not Horatio.
Not Harrison.
You don't run into a lot of students with this name. Let me put it that way.
Herbert.
Herbert. Also up there. His name was Hiram.
Hiram.
Okay. As in Walker?
Oh. Hiram Ulysses.
Yeah, as in Walker.
Yep.
Well, I can see why they kind of changed it now, yeah.
Exactly.
I don't think we're passing this 6 out of 10.
No, yeah.
I think we're falling short.
This was generous for a reason.
We need that extra credit.
Yeah, we do.
Quick, call in the lefty.
Professor Mayo, isn't there a token we can earn or something?
There possibly
with your
is.
Alternative grading.
Alternative grading?
Yes.
What university was associated with General William Tecumseh Sherman? What university was associated with Sherman?
University of Sherman?
He was superintendent of this university,
Georgia
whatever that
Tech.
Means. Not Georgia
West
Tech.
West Point?
Nope.
University of North Carolina?
Nope.
What state was he?
A little further west, actually.
Where's our map when we need it?
I know.
Was University of Kentucky around?
A little further south.
Tennessee.
VMI?
Not Tennessee. Nope.
Where's our map? We need our map.
I know.
It was Louisiana State.
One here.
Oh.
He was superintendent of Louisiana State Seminary of Learning and Military Academy, now known as LSU.
And then he went a long way to become a Yankee after that.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. What was John Brown's occupation by anecdote prior to moving to Bloody Kansas and seizing the arsenal at Harper's Ferry? What did he do?
He's a farmer.
A sheep farmer.
He was not a farmer.
School teacher.
Busker.
He was not a teacher.
Cabinet maker.
He lived off the land in a very specific way. He did things to animal hides.
A tanner?
He was a tanner.
A tanner.
He was a tanner. FYI, his father was a tanner, taught by Jesse Grant, Hiram Ulysses Grant's father, the business. Oh. Yes.
Six there degrees of separation.
Yep.
How many do we have correct?
Not enough.
Oh, one.
Not enough.
Hasty Jim.
Chang and Eng Bunker were the famous original conjoined twins.
Okay. Yes.
What distinction do they have with regard to the Civil War by tradition?
Did they marry somebody who was...
Nope.
No.
They met Abraham Lincoln.
Nope. That
one
seems
took
reasonable.
The bullet for the
this
other.
This is just wild enough that it may not be true, but it's still super exciting.
They fought
for different sides.
I mean, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you because guess what?
That's a great guess.
One got drafted and the other didn't.
Oh.
And the one that didn't get drafted won, if that makes any sense. Yeah, that's pretty good. Wow. Pretty good.
Oh, my gosh.
What happened? Oh, my. I've heard of this before, and it's really... You know, it sounds like cool, but it's not at all. It's deeply disturbing. What happened to the wounds of the soldiers in the fields after the Battle of Shiloh?
They got infected.
They definitely got infected, but by something very specific.
Mosquitoes.
After 2 days of lying in the mud. Flesh-eating
bacteria?
No.
Gangrene?
The wounds started doing something at night.
Glowing.
They glowed in the dark.
They glowed?
Yeah, they had been infected with bioluminescent bacteria, and so all the dead started glowing from their wounds.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's one for the ages there. These have been at least a little bit, if not completely, entertaining, Dana. Thank you for sending them to us. Last question. Jefferson Davis, of course, was the president of the Confederate States of America. Who was the other Jefferson Davis during the Civil War?
There's another?
There is another one.
Like his title or his job?
I mean, just in general, it's a war, so you can make some pretty good guesses.
He's a general.
He was a general. Hey. Partial credit. He was a general for the Union.
Okay.
Yep. He served in the Western Theater. He was born in Indiana. So
very interesting.
The two Jefferson Davises.
Why do I get the feeling we're giving away a coffee mug, 7 pounds of coffee, and, and a vital organ?
Those are stumpers.
Those were tough. Those were really, really tough.
You think?
Really tough. So let's move on to a different set of questions now, sent by the great, not at all late, Hank Durkin.
Yay.
Where is he?
He's around.
There he is.
Oh, there he is, back there, skulking about.
Yes. The best, I just love this question set. I wish it had 100 questions in it, Hank. The best movie taglines.
Ooh.
So for the people from different generations, we would get advertising for movies. And we would have a special sentence associated with that movie that gave you a sense of the plot. May did you want to go see it?
Vaguely familiar with this.
For instance, probably the most famous one of all in my world, in space, no one can hear you scream.
Alien.
Yeah.
I've been watching all the Aliens lately.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All we had to go on was a trailer that we probably missed and a poster in the lobby, right? So what movie are we going to see? Fear can hold you prisoner. Hope can set you free. I'm looking in a New Englandish kind of direction.
Shawshank Redemption?
It's the Shawshank Redemption. There we go. All right.
Man.
All right, we're on a roll.
Yes, we are.
That sounds like Beth's syllabus.
Now be very careful, professors.
Uh-oh. Is that the tagline?
No.
Oh.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
Oh, nice.
Not
nice.
Jaws. Okay. Jaws 2.
Another New England question.
Yeah.
A lot of New England questions. The first casualty of war is innocence. Oof. Tough movie. Very tough movie.
Private Ryan.
Yeah.
No. A little bit before that.
All's Quiet on the Western Front?
Nope.
Deer Hunter-ish? Apocalypse Now?
Single word starts with the letter P.
Platoon.
Yes.
Very good.
Have any of the younger profs seen any of these movies?
Not a chance.
oh, really?
Not looking very hot
for
me.
Let's move.
Not a chance.
We're accumulating a list.
I have a list on my phone. I've not
made
any progress.
Come on, we did WKRP last year already. Come on.
We have to be better for the next movie.
Yeah, exactly. You have 1 year to prepare for the next one.
Oh, my goodness.
So Hank can work on those questions. On the air, unaware. That was a good tagline. Very short.
On the air,
it's a Jim Carrey number.
The Mask.
The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. It is the Truman Show.
I got one.
Love that.
Okay,
actually,
retire now.
Oh, you saw it.
In high school,
okay.
Yeah.
There we
absolutely.
Go.
Retire now.
That's the only Jim Carrey movie I approve of.
Oh, interesting. Oh, interesting. Okay. Don't think too hard,
we
even
don't.
If you just know the cultural touch point. One man's struggle to take it easy.
The Jim Tubb story.
No, I don't struggle.
Anybody who's retired, right? No. A classic, basically Generation X defining 1980s movie.
Oh, criminy.
Involves Chicago.
Oh, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller's Day Off. Chicago and
that sounds
Red
so
Wings
dissonant
jersey.
With like the fun. That sounds like too serious for them. Yeah,
it does.
One man's.
Yeah. I know.
One like, man's struggle to take it easy.
He's not a man.
Yeah, it was in high school.
I was thinking like Chevy Chase or something. Yeah. I don't know.
They're young, they're in love, and they kill people. That was it.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde.
I'm like, boom, boom, boom. That movie.
We went Old West with Aaron over here.
Pew, pew, pew. So.
Oh, my gosh. This is the weekend they didn't play golf. Oof.
That's, weekend at Bernie's?
That's what I was thinking.
What's that Adam Sandler movie?
I mean,
like?
This yes, is, except that we need to go down sort of a more dramatic, less comedic, more dramatic route.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, I could give it away with just two words. Dueling Banjos?
Oh, Deliverance.
Oh, Deliverance.
Deliverance. Yes.
That was, wait, that was the tagline. Say that again.
This is the weekend they didn't play golf.
Can you imagine going to that movie? Wow.
Oh, my word.
I did not know that that line.
That was one nightmare waiting to be repeated.
Oh, Ned Beatty just spinning in his grave right now. So.
Going back to especially the late boomers, this is Benjamin. He's a little worried about his future.
Mrs. Robinson.
The graduate.
Graduate. Yeah. Yes, very, very good.
You know.
next time, Hank, maybe Civil War? I mean, they've got all these.
You just want another mug, don't you?
Yeah.
Ocean liners.
Yes.
One more. This is Hank's favorite, and I do agree. Oh. This is pretty good, especially going into
Airplane.
A spooky season here. That'll be your clue.
Halloween.
Check in, unpack, relax, take a shower.
Psycho.
Oh, Psycho.
Psycho. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Psycho. Wow. Fantastic. That's awesome.
Jim, that does sound like you on a...
Those are great, Hank. Thank you.
Oh, dear Matt and Professor, seeing as how you have a new season fast approaching, I've taken on myself to come up with a new series of questions for your fine show.
Fine.
The theme of these questions will be obscure professions. I'll provide the name of 20 professions. It'll be up to the profs to ascertain what it is that person does. Mind you, I was kind, and I did not name 20 professors and asked what it is that they do. Wonderful. Please enjoy our good friend Rachel Ralston. Thank you for sending those in, Rachel. So what is a Wainwright?
Something with a boat.
Nope.
No.
Sorry.
What do they repair wagons?
Yeah, like
they make wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make wagons of wagon wheels. Yep.
Okay.
These are going to be spectacular. I can already tell.
Wheelhouse. Yeah.
In the wheelhouse.
Close enough.
What's a Warfinger?
Careful.
Warfinger. Somebody that works at a wharf?
That is exactly what it is. As a matter of fact, it's the person in charge of the wharf is a Warfinger.
Oh, I was hearing war, like W-A-R, and then I was hearing wharf.
Not the Klingon.
Warfinger.
Jeez, you had to go Klingon again.
Warfinger.
I'm going in a slightly chemical direction, so we have a couple of chemists at the table. When I say
okay.
A puddler, what does a puddler do?
Puddler?
Mm-hmm. Like an... person that makes like metals of some sort.
That's exactly what they do. They work with wrought iron because it puddles, it flows. Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Exactly right.
I was gonna say that.
Okay, so this is top chemist's
metals. What my brother-in-law's new puppy does.
We need a few more questions here.
And the 7-year-old.
Yes.
What's a ripper?
That's something my 7-year-old does.
Ripper, R-I-P-P-E-R.
Clothing or
Fabric.
Fabric.
I want to say this has a an Irish bent to it.
Jack.
There's definitely a song
Kilt
that
maker.
I can think of. No.
Ripper.
They sell something that you eat is a ripper, because I believe they would whip out a knife and pull out the guts and then pass it over to you.
Fishmonger.
A fishmonger.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, basically it's a fishmonger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Old school peruker, P-E-R-U-K-E-R. What do they do?
I'm sorry. Could you spell that one more time?
P-E-R-U-K-E-R, a peruker.
Can you use that in a sentence?
I mean, Yes, yes, I can. Darn. Do I want to?
Rupert. What's the origin?
Trying to think of a good way to do
like
this.
Someone that finds a bunch of antiques and like resells them.
I mean,
like
that was very specific, but not what we have here. This person makes an accessory.
Hats?
So in particular, someone who might want to have hair who doesn't have hair.
Oh, a wig maker.
Yeah, it's a wig maker.
Say it, Peruker.
Peruker.
Interesting.
Sounds so noble.
Some softballs here. How about a sawyer? You know what a sawyer is, right?
Such, yeah. I don't know why I'm pantomiming on a radio
wood.
Show.
Well, there are cameras today.
But I got the shh. I got that.
The shush.
It is a carpenter. Yes.
Sound effects. Sound effects with it.
Oh, my gosh. How about a thatcher?
Roof. That's the roof. Thatcher's the roof.
Very good.
She did it
very
again.
I got to watch one of those guys doing it in Ireland, and it was fascinating.
It's pretty fascinating stuff.
It's a lot of work. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thatcher.
How about a hobbler? H-O-B-B-L-E-R. A hobbler. No hobbit jokes
is
or
it
anything.
A cobbler?
Fixing shoes.
Sounds like a cobbler, but
cobbler?
Fancy.
It's
yeah.
Cobbler.
You know that there are people that have the job of hobbler? I'm thinking of our good friend, Dean in the College of Engineering and Science, Liz Roberts-Kirchhoff, lives on a lot of canals in New Baltimore, and hobblers have a very specific job that they have to do.
They open and close the gates on things.
That's really close. Like
dredging?
The water levels? Yeah. No.
It's the person with the long hook that brings your boat in to the side, like when they're walking along the land.
A docker. It's like a docker.
A docker. Yeah, exactly. So, oh my, I've never heard this word before, but it will soon enter my everyday speech. Costermonger. C-O-S-T-E-R. Costermonger.
Not Costco monger. So that's Jim.
Sells something, by the way. Something that you eat.
Well, a monger sells, yes.
Yeah, so.
Costermonger.
Bread? Vegetables.
Fish?
Not fish. We had the
meat.
Ripper
Oysters.
Already.
Flowers, like a florist?
No, really? That's good. Florist is closer. It's very brightly colored. It's a food.
Vegetables.
Not vegetables, but...
Pork buns?
Candy? Like a
fruit?
A candy?
Fruit. It's a fruit seller is a costermonger. Yeah.
Fruit seller is so much easier to say.
Yeah,
it is. A lot easier
fruit
to
monger.
Say.
Yeah.
How about a hayward? H-A-Y-W-A-R-D.
Somebody that gathers up hay and... puts
I mean,
it into haystacks.
Pretty close, but it would have, in the manor house style, like going towards Edwardian, they got good at doing yard work, fences, hedges, things like that. So, yeah, pretty good. Ooh. That was pretty solid. Got resurrectionists, so we'll say that's a full pass. No tokens needed. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And that's just the first half of our Ask the Professor program recorded at Detroit Mercy's Homecoming 2025. We'll hear the second half next week. A video of the full hour Ask the Professor Homecoming show is being produced by our Communication Studies media engineer, Brian Masonville. Look for it soon on the Ask the Professor YouTube page. Today's episode of Ask the Professor was recorded at Detroit Mercy's McNichols Campus Library. Our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach, and I'm Michael Jason, inviting you back next week for the second half of our Ask the Professor show, recorded before a live audience at Detroit Mercy Homecoming 2025. Thank you.